Hello, hello, hello. Aloha. So we're going to talk now about something very, very, very practical. We're going to leave aside the spiritual things for the time being. Of course, we can be aware of the grace of life all the time anyway. There's no harm in that. But I want to talk today about how to save time. Would you like to save your time? Would you like to have more time? Do you feel sometimes that there's not enough time in your life? That you've got all these things that you want to do, but you haven't got time for them, and you keep putting them off, putting them to the back. There's all this priorities. When I get this finished, then I'll be able to do that thing. Then I'll be able to go to the beach. Then I'll be able to do this. I really wanted to go on holiday to this place, but I haven't got time to go. Do you see yourself thinking these thoughts? Oh, I really want to go out to this event tonight, but I haven't got time because I need to finish my work. Do you hear yourself saying this? Would you like to be free of it? So today we're going to talk about how can we free ourselves from all these time restraints and do what we need to do. Now, there is a book which talks in great depth about this, which is called The 4-Hour Work Week by Timothy Farris, and I highly recommend that book. If you want to know about how to chop your time down in detail, go and buy that book. Brilliant book. I'm going to tell you some of the methods from that book here and now, and also my personal experience. There's nothing like it. It's very, very practical, and it really, really works. So, first thing is if you look back on your life, say the last year, look back. Were there things that you did that you didn't really need to do? Think about this for a moment. This is a very interesting thing to consider. If you added up the whole of the last year, how many months or weeks or days or hours do you think you could have saved had you have done things differently? And this isn't about guilt and shame and regret. This is just a practical thing. Look back. How many months, weeks, or days, or hours do you think you could have saved had you have done things differently? How many times did you do things twice? How many times did you do things you didn't actually need to do at all? How many things just were wasted? You know, how much did you spend your time doing work when you were tired and it wasn't quality? Just look into the different things. How much time did you spend with people who you didn't really want to be with and you'd rather have done something else? So when I look back on the year in general, and I like to be honest and I like to kind of, in a sense, over exaggerate a little bit, but when I look back, I see pretty much every year I could save somewhere between 2 and 3 months of time. I'm not joking, 2 or 3 months. At least it seems like that to me. Because there is a beautiful expression which I was told many years ago that there is never enough time to do something properly, first time. But there's always time to redo it, to do it again afterwards. So there's never enough time to do it properly, but there's always enough time to do it again. Isn't that fascinating? Now, this really struck home because I worked on various design projects and various different projects with different people. And there is often, you probably see this in the workplace, people are just so obsessed with getting things done. Get this finished, and because the internet is speeding up and because everyone's got a cell phone, the ability to communicate with somebody else is so fast, and you can actually achieve so much potentially in one day that there is an outrageous speed in which things are happening. And with that comes all the stress that everything needs to be done yesterday, or it's a week late already before it even started. And there is this feeling, it's got to be done, it's got to be done, it's got to be done. Now, if you look back, say, 100 years ago, or even 50 years ago, or even 10 years ago, people were not as stressed, things weren't as fast, and people took their time. And I studied I didn't actually study graphic design, but I've done design work, art work, I've been into communication, understanding aesthetics. And when we look back over history, the art and the design movement, they used to spend maybe 1 week to do a poster, for example, a week, because they had to use letterpress, and everything took time, and it had to be proofed, and it had to all be done by hand. There was no computers, so they kind of relaxed, did it as best they could, did everything on paper first, worked it all out, and then they created the final thing, and then it was printed in a rudimentary way compared to modern printing methods, and it did the job, but it took way longer. What could be done in maybe 3 hours would have taken a week. And some of the things that would have taken a month, you can do in an hour now. You know, like there's certain technology that just speeds things up to such a degree that you can knock these things out. But the quality of work and the quality of life has not necessarily gone up. In fact, people are extremely stressed about this. And in India, in the cities, the suicide rate is out of control. The amount of people killing themselves is ridiculous. It didn't used to happen. In India, they didn't have any suicides, hardly. It was unheard of for there to be suicide. In the cities, there's suicide everywhere because people can't deal with the pace of life. They just can't handle it. It's not in their nature to be dealing with things. We're living in a very, very, very unnatural way. And the consequence is people are absolutely stressed to the max and to the degree and to the point that they'd rather be dead, they'd rather kill themselves than carry on in the way that they are. And that's definitely a sign, that's a warning sign. And so we need to be able to manage ourselves better. And I'll give you a few methods. How can you save your time? Now, the first thing you need to know is what is actually important to you. Because what most people do is they put the important things, their dreams, they put them at the back. They're on the back burner. They hide them away in a cupboard. They hardly ever even think about their dreams. That's the last thing on their mind. That will happen, oh, maybe one day after this, and this is all happened, you know. And I've done this in my own life, you know. I thought, I've just got to finish this, I've just got to do this, then I'll be able to do something else. So the first thing to do is put your dreams, put the things that you really want to do at the front. And this doesn't mean be irresponsible and don't do anything and neglect your responsibilities. It doesn't mean that. It means be aware of what it is that really nourishes you, because if you're nourished, if you're enjoying life, then everything's easy. You have this experience, if you're happy, if you're relaxed, if you're, everything's good, you do what you love. When you do things that you love, it gives you energy, and when it gives you energy, you feel good, and you can do more things, and everything's easy. You have health, wealth, and happiness when there's that feeling of joy and happiness and fulfillment. Everything comes as a consequence. It's natural, it's fun, it's easy. So bring your dreams to the front of your life. And it might not be that you can live every dream that you want every single day, all day long, you know. So don't have that expectation to start with. You will be able to do that. But you need to start with just do some of the things. Bring those dreams to the front. Don't need to be big dreams like going away on this cruise around the world and this year off and that. Not those kind of dreams. They're practical dreams. Oh, I wish I had more time to rest. I wish I could go to the beach. I wish I could spend more time doing this, and this. Things that you like to do during your day. Put those at the front. You know, and little trips that you want to do, like weekend trips and things like that, make sure you do them. So bring it all to the front. Say, I have to do these things. Give them priority, like the other things have got priority. Make sure you do those things. So make a list, write them down, and put them in front of you. Stick them on the fridge, put them in, on your desk, put them on a board. Make sure you see the things. Now, my experience about this is that if I don't look at what I need to do, all that will happen is I'll be distracted by whatever's in front of me. You have this experience? If you haven't got a plan, for example, in the day, say you wake up and you've got no plan, you've got no list of things to do or anything, what will happen, chances are, is that you'll just react to whatever comes to you. So if you go in front of your computer and you press get mail, you're just going to basically spend your time answering emails that other people have sent you. Or someone will phone you up and they'll want something from you and then you'll give it to them. So you'll be reacting to the things that come. And I've noticed, and I'll be completely honest, if I haven't got a list of what is important for me, the day just disappears on its own. You know, and of course I'll stop for my little breaks and have meditation and I enjoy myself, but it doesn't mean that I'm fulfilling my dharma. It means that I'm just reacting to life. And that isn't empowered, that's a disempowered state, because it's not coming from within. It's just a reaction to the drama around me. So first thing is, know what you like to do. What are those little dreams? What are those things? You know what they are. I'm not here to tell you what those things are. No one can tell you those things. You know what those things are. You know what brings you joy. You know what you love. You know what makes you feel happy. So put those things at the front. So you know what they are. Put them around the house. Print them out. Stick them on windows. Stick them on your cork board. Stick them on the fridge. Put them in your car. Get them all over the place, because otherwise you'll forget about them and you won't even live any of your dreams, hardly, because you're not thinking about them. So bring them in the front, bring them in the front, bring them in the front. See them, look at them, feel them, enjoy them, be inspired. Get them all over the place. You know, after this audio file, you can just go out and write all these things down and stick them all over the house. It's going to do you a load of good. Go for it, go for it, go for it. The second thing to do, now this is from the 4-hour work week book. Brilliant. I've put this into practice. It's changed my life. Definitely changed my working day, actually. Now, what he says is, do not check your emails until 12 o'clock. Now, if you don't have emails, this may not apply. You may be able to use the same principle in another way. If you are at work and you're checking emails, don't click get mail until 12 o'clock. Do you think you can manage that? Most people have got, and turn your email, automatic email off. Don't have it so that whenever there's an email, you see a little number next to your email icon. That's very, very dangerous and distracting. You can even get these things nowadays, you might even have them, where it pops up on your screen when you get an email. You know, not even in the dock, it actually pops up. Turn all that stuff off. Turn it off. And don't check it till 12. Because then what that means is that you've got the morning to do whatever you need to do. You can be completely focused. Being in a state of multitasking all the time is inefficient. Now, there's probably endless books about this, and women are generally better at multitasking. Doesn't mean it's efficient, doesn't mean it's effective. It's much better to just do one thing with full attention and finish it. Because if you say you've got 20 minutes to do something, if you've got that 20 minutes, you could just go, this is the thing I've got to do. I'm going to do it with a good feeling, I've got the energy for it, I'm inspired to do it. And you do that one thing, you do it really well, and you enjoy doing it, and you give it full attention, and your attitude is to do it properly, to do it clearly, to do it quickly, without any stress, but you do it in the most effective way, then it's done. That's out of the way, finished. But if you, rather than doing that, you're interrupted by emails and phone calls and this and that, and you're in the middle of doing something, you think, oh, I'm inspired to send this email to somebody. It's a very messy way of working, and it takes way longer. If you add up the number of minutes and hours, you're wasting a huge amount of time by doing that. So turn off your email from the alerts. Don't even open it up till 12 o'clock. And one of the things that's really worked for me, that one is gold. I'm telling you, that is gold. Put that into practice from today and you'll see the difference. And you can set up an autoresponder if you need to that says, I'm not going to check my emails till 12 o'clock because I'm very busy, or something like that, in the nicest way. And people will be happy, you know, and they'll just get used to it, and that's just the way it is. So the other thing along with this is to have a very small piece of paper, and what you can do is fold in just a standard size piece of paper, a letter or A4, whatever it is, so that it becomes about 3 inches high and 2 inches wide. And you write on that list what you need to do before 11 o'clock. So you write down all your critical tasks before 11 o'clock. Get the most important things out of the way and ask yourself, if this is all I did today, would I be happy in terms of your work? Yeah, we're talking about your work here. So the idea is to get all of your work done, basically, everything that's crucial, get it all done by 11 o'clock and then have the rest of the day off. This is actually practical. And this guy, Timothy Farris, he says that he's taken people who are like very, very busy running around 9 to 5 or 9 to 8 or whatever it is, Monday to Friday. He takes them working 3 days a week and finishing at 2 o'clock. And they get more work done than they had in the previous month in 1 week. So don't underestimate the power of this stuff. So get those critical tasks down. If this is all you did, would you be happy? Ask that question. If the answer is yes, then they're the good things to have on the list. If they're not, just scrap, get rid of them. Put the important things on there. And what I do is I have like two parts to the paper. One is the, in a sense, the work tasks, even though actually, to be honest, my life is all play. I have to say, I only do what I love, and it's all good. So it's all just wonderful. I honestly can say I live the life of my dreams and just do what I want all the time, and that's the truth, literally. That's what I wanted, and that's what I have. So I'm very pleased with myself for pulling it off. But there's like, there's, you know, job, there's work things that are related to achieving something, and then there's more relaxing things, more recreational things, like in my case, going to the beach, spending time with friends, going out to a concert or something, whatever is the recreation that goes on there. So the top is, what are the things I've got to do before 11 o'clock? Critical things. And then is, what do I want to do for myself in terms of, it could just be lying in the sun, it might be going to a yoga class, whatever it is, I write them down. And then I put that somewhere where I can see it clearly. I keep it in my pocket when I'm walking around, and otherwise it's available. And I like to cross them off and tick them off. So I start, generally speaking, go to the beach for meditation in the morning. I'd try and get back from the beach, if I can, around 8. Because I love working at 8 in the morning. I seem very effective first thing in the morning. And I like to give myself essentially 3 hours to do all the critical things. And if I don't give myself 3 hours, those same tasks might take the whole day. And they won't be any better. It will just mean that I'll be faffing around, doing this, changing it again, being such a perfectionist. And then it hasn't really been any better anyway. So you can do a good job if you're focused and you give yourself a time limit. It doesn't mean you get stressed about the time limit, it just means that you've got some clarity. This is the time, this is what I've got to do, and you get on with it. Do it in a way that you enjoy doing it. If it takes a bit longer, then that's okay, but you're going from the right attitude. Just clarity, focus, one thing at a time, Then you can check your emails at about 12 o'clock and just reply to everything that you need to. You don't have to read every email. You don't have to reply to everything everyone says. You don't have to answer all your phone calls. You don't have to do all these things. It doesn't mean that you're doing service just because you're constantly running around all the time. You know, most of the time, the running around and the busyness is basically a distraction from the fact that we're wasting our lives. Because your state of consciousness, your state of awareness, whether or not you're following your Dharma, is the key factor as to whether or not you're wasting your life and whether you're doing any service in the world. Because if you're just basically running around trying to prove yourself as being a good person, it's coming from the wrong place. So it's all harmful and pointless. So we need to be coming from the right place, from a state of self-empowerment and peace. And please excuse these buses in the background, you can probably hear them. India is a very loud place and takes some getting used to from Hawaii. Nonetheless, what is it that you need to do? So if you're following your Dharma, if you're coming from a state of peace and grace and love and genuine concern for the world, whatever you're doing, then your service is powerful. In fact, service through the mind, service through vibrations is the most effective and powerful service anyway. So you don't actually need to even do anything. Like, the biggest service being done is by people who are in an extremely high state of consciousness, and they may be in a cave and no one even knows they're there, but their vibrations are affecting the world in a much more profound and impactful way than anyone who's running around all day long 24/7. So for you, for me, what does it mean? It means we need to understand, what is my Dharma, what do I need to do, and be in a good state, and just do the things that need to be done in an efficient and happy, gentle and enjoyable way. Get it all done before 11, check your emails at about 12, and then if you have to, check them again later on the day. Timothy Farrar says, check them between 12 and 4. Once at 12, once at 4. He's a bit extreme because I don't think he enjoys his work. You know, I love my work, and so I like creating things. So I don't mind if I'm working for a good chunk of the day because I like doing it. But he is in a situation where he doesn't like his work. He just wants to make money and then spend the rest of his time on the beach and travelling around and doing things he likes. So if you're in a situation where you don't particularly enjoy your job, then apply these things ruthlessly, because you'll basically save time and you'll have more time for other things that you do like. So 12 o'clock, check your email, send them 4 o'clock. And that's it, twice a day and that's it. And don't spend more than an hour maximum on the emails. Just try and chop it down. Don't even bother reading things. Now, another thing, so can you do that? Think about it. Can you do it? Apply this, it will work. It definitely has worked for me. I've saved so much time, like just in the last 6 months since I've been doing this. I've saved enormous amounts of time doing that. And when I don't have my list, and when I don't follow my little email discipline, then basically the day gets swamped. It's just a waste of time. I'm caught up in things. It's not the same at all. So it really, really, really works. Now, the other thing is to make sure that you go and do those things that you love. You know, like I was saying before, get them around the house, what you need to do, prioritize. Get those things that you love to do, your dreams, put them at the front, put them all over the house. Do them after lunch. Or if it doesn't work, you do it the other way around. But I find getting the active things out of the way first thing in the morning is a good way to go. Then go out, go and do something else. Go and spend time with people who you haven't made time for. Do what you love in the day. And if you give priority to it, what will happen is that you'll make sure you do finish those other things so that you can do that. You have to be disciplined, you have to be clear. Right, it's got to be done. Bing! Finished. And then the other side of this is basically releasing yourself. Release yourself. Free yourself from things that do not serve you. Have the courage to let go of people. Have the courage to let go of things that you don't really like doing. Let go of these obligations. Feeling obliged is a terrible thing. You know? If you are going to do something, do it because you feel it needs to be done and you're happy to do it. So just be clear with yourself. What are the things that you can just let go of? You don't have to spend time with everyone who wants to spend time with you. You don't have to finish a book that you were reading that wasn't very good. You know, if you're watching a movie and it's junk, just turn it off. Just leave the movie theatre if you have to. If you're reading an article you don't like, just put it away. You know, if you're reading an email and it's going on and on, just delete it. You don't have to do these things. Most of the time we think we've got to be running around doing things all the time. We don't have to be doing things all the time. You might just want to spend a whole day sitting around in the sun just thinking about life or going for a walk. That's fine. That's extremely useful. That's probably the best use of a day ever. You know, you might just want to make some wonderful food in all day long and give it to people or whatever. It's great. Do the stuff that you love and don't just waste away doing the stuff that you think you should be doing all the time. And what happened with me is I was kind of working towards living the life of my dreams, so to speak. And then one day I decided, no, right, this is it. I am going to live the life of my dreams from today. And that's it. The stuff I don't want to do, I'm just not going to do it. And it was a change of attitude that allowed me to see that I have a choice. And everything I do, I can do from a state of happiness and grace and gratitude and enjoyment. And honestly speaking, and I have to say this, you know, this is so, so important. Make a note of this, write it down really big somewhere. Make a mental note, make a physical note of this. That only when you're enjoying yourself and you're in a high state of awareness, consciousness, you are in a happy state, only then is there any benefit in what you do. There's only going to be success if it comes from the right space. So if you're stressed, if you're feeling, oh, I have to finish this thing and I don't really want to, don't do it. I have practically experienced this so many times that it's no longer a theory at all. It's a complete fact, 100% truth, that any time I'm not really feeling it and I go and do something anyway, I have to do it again, or there's no need for it. Again and again and again and again, I've experienced this. Just check it in your own life. If you're feeling, oh, I'm a bit tired, I don't really want to go to this party, but I feel I do want to go, or I don't really want to do this, but I really want to do this, and you pursue the thing that you don't really want to do, every time, in my case at least, it's been a waste of my time and energy. And for example, also rushing around, right? The amount of times that I've rushed around to try and get somewhere because I feel I'm late. And every single time, literally, I've arrived early, or the other person has been late, or that something's been cancelled, or it was, you know, like the wrong day or something. Like, every time there's that feeling of stress, I have to do it, oh, I don't want to do this, but I've got to run, all these feelings. Every single time, the result is negative and wasteful. So take this on really seriously. in a light way, of course, take this on, that you only need to do things that you feel happy to do. That doesn't mean you're just a hippie and you're just floating around, oh yeah man, I'll only do when, you know. It doesn't mean like that. It means get in an empowered state of consciousness, be clear what's important to you, and go for that. Follow your intuition, follow your truth. And also, if you're not feeling something, you can change your feeling. You know, you're the controller of your emotions and your destiny. You know, that kind of sleepy, inert state, you can snap out of it. You have the power. So do things because you love them, because you want to do them, because you're empowered to do them. If you're not feeling it, find something else to do. You know, like, I always seem to work on, I work this out, I work on 11, somewhere between 11 and 15 projects at any given time. Now that might sound like completely fragmented, and in a sense it is, but in another sense I just like variety. So I like to be able to choose what I'm doing. So I might be creating some audio files, or I might be making some music, or I might be doing some program, or whatever, or doing some artwork, or anything. So I think, I'm feeling in an arty mood, so I'm going to do this art thing that I've got going, or I'm feeling in a musical mood, so I'm going to go over there, or I'm feeling in a meditative mood, or I'm feeling in a whatever. So whatever my mood is, whatever's coming over me, that's the direction that I will go in, because that's where the greatest focus and success is going to be. So be clear, what do you love, and do that. You know, have these choices available. Don't be completely trapped. Give yourself these, in a sense, ridiculous deadlines, because then you get things done. Do them in a way that you like. Nick was saying something, I can't remember where he got it from. He'll probably tell you that Do everything as if you've got all day. Act as if you've got all the time in the world. Because if you, this is in a sense sounds like it contradicts what I'm saying, but it doesn't really. If you say, I've only got 15 minutes to do something, and it creates a stress in your mind, then you will be kind of stuck, there'll be a stuck energy around it. But if you say, I've got all the time in the world and I'm enjoying myself, then because of the focus and because of the flow, and like I was saying before, because that's the way the energy is going, that's what you're inspired to do, and you say, feel as if you've got all day to do it, then you'll get it done quickly and it'll be easy. You know, it'll take you 15 minutes. So something, if you say, I've got all day to do it and I'm feeling inspired, it'll take you, say, 15 minutes. But if you try and do it in 15 minutes with a sense of stress and you don't want to do it, it will take you all day. And then you'll probably have to do it again tomorrow anyway. So, do things that you love. And the other thing to be aware of is that your concentration, in general, is maximum 2 hours on one particular task. Don't spend more than 2 hours on one particular kind of work. 2 hours maximum. It might mean that you take a break and come back to it if you have to, but don't try and work for 4 hours at a time. You know, it's just, it doesn't work, because divine inspiration is the best way to get things done. Force is very unpleasant in the moment, and it leads to a stressful result, because if you think about it, it's the energy, it's the vibrations that you put into something that lead to the result. Those vibrations exist within the thing that you've created. And I remember an art exhibition in the Tate Modern in London, because I love going to see beautiful art. I like aesthetics. And there was an exhibition called Picasso versus Matisse. And if you know much about art and the lives of the artists, Matisse was a more mellow kind of guy. He was more divinely inspired. His work, he felt, came from God. And if you look at his work, it has a gentle and beautiful, subtle energy about it. And so this exhibition had Picasso and Matisse paintings in the same exhibition, in a sense, back to back. There was Picasso versus Matisse, or something like that, Picasso and Matisse. And it was comparing the artists, because they lived at the same time, roughly, and they were in contact throughout their lives. And Picasso, as you know, was a very prolific artist. You know, he was constantly on it, but he came from a bit of a demonic energy. He definitely had a passion, but it was a bit kind of intense. And he had lots of women, and he liked to drink a lot, and he was very passionate but slightly stressed kind of guy. You know, Matisse was more divinely inspired. There's like almost like the opposite energy that the people had themselves, which was going into their paintings. And overall, what the critics were saying about this exhibition, overall, I'm not sure that there was like a winner and a loser, but bottom line is that people much preferred Matisse's work to Picasso's, because his vibrations were different. I'm not sure they were saying it in these words, but you could see that even though Picasso was a genius and he came up with these amazing images, I went to this exhibition, standing in front of Picasso's paintings made me feel slightly angry, actually, and slightly mad, actually, whereas standing in front of Matisse's images made me feel peaceful and going beyond, you know, because the point of art in the first place was to take you beyond, to experience what is beyond the world through art. That's why art exists. That's why it existed. That's why people have created things throughout the whole of history, is to have an otherworldly experience. And that's what Matisse's images generally did. Whereas Picasso's images were more of a stressed, worldly, stuck kind of energy. And of course everyone has their own subjective experience anyway. But that was the general consensus amongst people going to the exhibition and the critics. And so think about this in your own life. If your energy is a bit stressed, if you're not really feeling it, then that's going to go into the work. And I've seen this again and again and again and again. So for me it's a fact. If I don't feel like something, forget it, I'm going to do something else. Or I need to shift my energy so that I do feel like doing it. And then everything's good. So here's just a few powerful things to do. Do that, get your list in the morning. Some people say get your list before you go to bed and be clear about it. And then when you go to sleep, it will go into your dreams in a way. And then when you wake up, you're fresh because your subconscious mind has been churning on those things you're doing. I don't personally believe in that, because I'd much rather be in complete peace and in the bliss during my sleep. I'm not interested in all these details. I'd much rather be inspired in the morning. So my list emerges after meditation, because I don't know the day before what's going to be the divine flow the next day, you know. Every moment is unique, so I'm not going to be trapping myself in something. So when you're inspired, write your list, follow it, get it all done before 11 o'clock, make sure you do the things that you love, don't keep putting them off, claim your life, it belongs to you, do the things that you love, do them today, do them now, and realize you don't have to do lots of things. I wouldn't be surprised if half of your life you don't have to do. I know for a fact that in the past I've pretty much wasted my entire day consistently doing things that I thought I ought to do, and it got to a point where I thought, no, I'm not going to do them at all. And it didn't make any difference really, it just meant that I was much, much, much more happy and living my truth. So do the things that you love, get everything done by 11, be careful about the emails and telephone calls. If someone phones you up and you're in the middle of something, just say, look, I've got to go, I'll call you back. You do. It doesn't. You can be short with people. Be short and sweet. It's fine. Give them a call back. Don't feel you're obliged to have this hour-long conversation about someone's drama when you have to do something else. You know. Put these things into practice. You will see the result for yourself. And I'll talk to you more about these things, other ideas, other things that have practically worked later on. So I hope you enjoyed this. It's time for breakfast. I've got to get my list going. Lots of love. And by the way, some of the things, for example, you don't need to have a list. Your job might be that you don't want to do anything today. You don't want to have any list. You just want to float around. That's fine as well. So you're not trapped in your rigid list. This isn't rigid. This is just following your dharma, doing what you need to do, getting priorities, not the ego, but allow the grace to tell you what to do. That's why write your list from a state of divine inspiration rather than from a stressed state. So experiment, work it out for yourself, feel it for yourself, refine it, take this on, own it, make it your own. Lots of love, lots of blessings, take care and have a wonderful day. This is the way to have the best day ever. Every day, every moment, be in that space, do what you love, love what you do. Okay, see ya.